This week's presenting sponsor of the Infamous Podcast is once again the Ohio Toy and Comic Show. The Ohio Toy and Comic Show takes place on Sunday, July 23rd at the Fairborn Dayton Holiday Inn, right across the street from Wright State University. Doors open at 10 a.m. and admission is only $2 for adults. Kids 12 and under are free. They'll have artists, vendors, cosplayers, and hourly door prizes. Plus, you get a chance to meet me and Johnny at the Infamous Podcast table. We'll have shirts for sale and other great giveaways. Find out more information about the guest list and vendors and who all will be at the Ohio Toy and Comic Show at www.ohiotoyandcomicshow.com, or you can find them on Facebook. See you at the show. Hey, welcome back to the Infamous Podcast, episode 102. One last action movie monster episode, Johnny.
Totally lost your thought.
No, I did not. One last action movie monster episode for the kind folks out there.
Mm-hmm.
It's Cover Up, y'all.
Mm-hmm. Oh my God. That's it. This is the last Cover Up episode.
Promise. I'm kidding. Oh,
that's it. This is the last episode.
Promise?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Well, you'll have to check back next week and see if we're still here or not. All right. But before we'll we get like... to... I should just do that as a joke. All right. So before we get to the episode, there's a bunch of news this week.
Well, it is in the episode.
Well, it is in the episode. That's true. Before we get to the main topic, how about that?
There you go.
All right. So kicking off news bites this week, X-Men Dark Phoenix is seeking a Dazzler.
I'm up for it.
You want to play Dazzler?
Sure, why not?
Nice. I could see the star on your face now.
I'm going to direct Han Solo, and I'm going to star as Dazzler.
All right.
And I might direct the next Lego movie, too.
How are you on roller skates?
Not good.
Yeah. They'll have to CGI those onto you.
Yeah. Well, that's it.
You can glide whimsically like you have skates on. Yeah. So, all right.
Just hook some wires to me. I'll do the wire thing before I get on roller skates.
Nice. Entertainment Weekly reported that there's confirmed, quote unquote, rumors of a casting notice for Dark Phoenix.
I love confirmed rumors.
I know, right? That includes a role that bore resemblance to Allison Blair, a.k.a. Dazzler. If you remember in X-Men Apocalypse, the mall scene, Cyclops pulls out a album that's Dazzler.
Yeah.
So, anyway.
I mean, I do. I don't know if they out there do.
I do. I geeked out when that happened, too. Yeah. I think I hit you when it happened. I was like, eh.
Did I see X-Men? Oh, I did.
Yeah, we did go see that one.
I don't remember who I see movies with. So,
anyway, it's a safe bet. It's either me or Elva.
Go by myself.
When's the last time you went to a movie by yourself?
Oh, what did I see recently by myself? I seen something by myself. Oh, Fate of the Furious.
I did see that one. Which, yeah. By the way, we're recording this on a Tuesday. It came out today. On
digital.
iTunes. Yeah, on digital.
Oh, okay.
Which...
I was going to say, I didn't put it out today, so...
I bought it, and I've already watched it.
Okay.
So...
Mighty Morphin Power Rangers came out on Blu-ray and DVD today.
We've had that for 2 weeks.
Well...
So...
I was advised not to buy it.
Why?
A friend of mine at work said that... He said, wait until you see it to decide on if you're going to buy it. And I went, okay.
And then bought it?
No.
Oh.
I told him, I said, I'll borrow your DVD out of your Blu-ray pack. So your son doesn't cry, because he's buying it for his son.
So the kid loved it.
Well, right.
I took her to see it in the theater, and she loved it. And, you know.
I forgot it was in the theater.
Anyway, I think we went on the opening weekend. Yeah, we did. Anywho. I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
I was a little closer to the Power Rangers on TV.
I watched the original Power Rangers on TV. It was on... The same time, like the same schedule as Batman the Animated Series.
Right.
So I would watch episodes here and there. So I was like, yeah, I'm aware of that group. It's like if they would have done like Turbo or something, I would have been like, no.
She's watched a bunch of the series. She likes Power Rangers in general.
When Disney had it, I'd watch, you know, here and there. Like I watched the Red Ranger episode where it was all the Red Rangers.
All the Red Rangers.
And I'm like, that's cool.
Yeah.
It's like, that's a cool idea. I'm like, why couldn't you do like all the Rangers in one episode?
That'd be cool.
Yeah.
All the living Rangers.
All the ones who haven't murdered somebody.
Exactly. Yeah. All right. And then also news continues to come out of the Han Solo film.
Yeah. Which,
not good news.
Eh.
But it turns
out... At this
out,
point, it sounds like it really, this is like the gossip rag stuff.
Right.
You know, like there's emails showing up now that are real emails. Like people are saying, these are real emails. These are confirmed emails.
Yeah.
And it's like, I don't care at this point.
Yeah.
It's like Ron Howard's directing it. It's like, how bad could it be? Tom Hanks will show up at some point in it and we'll be fine.
Gary Sinise will show up.
Gary Sinise shows up in it. I'm like, all right, he better be flying the Millennium Falcon.
As Han Solo?
No, just flying the Millennium Falcon.
As Lando?
He's been an astronaut like in three different things.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
He should be flying the Millennium Falcon.
Damn right.
He should be the original owner.
Fire Woody Harrelson and get Gary Sinise in there. Let's go.
Why not? All right. So apparently Alden. Einrich?
Say it like it's spelled.
Ehrenreich. Thank you. Alden Ehrenreich. Apparently Lucasfilm is not happy with Alden's performance to the point.
Now that I wave the papers around, it's like... Alden Ehrenreich is fired from Han Solo. Ooh. Gary Sinise to replace him.
Hayden Christensen replaces Alden Ehrenreich. Anyway.
I'm up for it.
Yeah.
Sure.
That'd be hilarious. Anywho.
Zac Efron. Probably should have been.
Maybe.
The guy from Age of Adeline that plays the young Harrison Ford during the flashback.
There you go. Anyway, so they went to the...
Now you're going to have to watch that.
I know, I do got to watch that.
He does the voice. Like, it's not... Yeah. It's literally not like Christopher Reeve voiced over the kid who played younger Clark Kent.
Okay.
It's literally this guy plays the younger version of Harrison Ford's character and does Harrison Ford's voice. And ooh. I was reading in the trivia that he does a perfect imitation of Harrison Ford.
Yeah. You know who does a great imitation of Harrison
Ross
Ford?
Ross Marquand.
Is Mark Thompson, who does the audiobooks.
Oh, okay.
Star Wars audiobooks.
I was
going to
say Ross Marquand from Walking Dead does a really good Harrison Ford.
Oh, yeah. I've heard that.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I've heard him do that. Not, yeah. Oh, I've heard that he does that.
In
you
this
know,
day
and
age, I'm sure
circle.
You've seen him do
I
it.
I think I saw that on Facebook. Anyway. Yeah. Yeah, so
Chewie, we're home.
I can't do it, so I'm not even going to try. They've hired a...
Acting coach
for him. They've replaced the project's editor, Chris
Dickens.
Well,
that usually will happen when a new director comes in anyway. So.
And they've brought in Ridley Scott collaborator, Petro Scalia? Scalia?
Where's it at? Pietro.
Pietro, thank you.
Scalia.
Does all this upheaval so far into the shooting schedule give you pause?
No.
For the quality of this film?
No.
Okay.
If they want to delay it, they can delay it.
You think?
Yeah.
You think
they said they're not going to, but they...
Yeah, I know they said they're not going to.
You know, if they want to, they can. Star Wars fans will eat up anything at this point.
Yeah.
I
don't know. And
even though, old school Star Wars fans won't eat up anything. They'll see it.
Yeah.
And then they'll tear it up.
Yeah.
I mean, there's people who don't like Rogue One.
Blasphemy.
Rogue One is a good remake.
My
of
wife
the,
did not like Rogue One.
It's a good remake of The Dirty Dozen.
It's just the Star Wars version of The
Dirty
Dozen.
It's the same as Avatar is a good remake of Dances with Wolves in space.
Okay.
It is.
Fair enough.
I
believe you. And you've told me this before.
Yeah. Have you never seen Dances with Wolves?
I've seen Dances with Wolves.
And you've
never seen Avatar.
You've never seen Avatar. Okay. Well, it is. It's a remake. It's literally like to the point that... what's his name's character? Jake Sully. Jake Sully is his name in the movie. He has to integrate into the...
Sam Worthless then.
What's his name? Worthington. That's it.
Sam Worthlessness.
Yeah, but we call him by his real name too. You can You can give his nickname, but but he has to integrate into the group. And I'm like, well, I've seen this before.
Yeah.
I'm like, and the woman has to be the one to integrate him. And it's like, that was Mary McDonnell. And that
President
was Kevin
Roslin, who brought Bull Durham in. Yeah. It was awesome. Or Crash Davis. Best Kevin Costner movie ever.
Which one?
Bull Durham. Hands down.
Not his best. Not his best.
Okay.
Did you see the one where he gets Ryan Reynolds implanted in his head?
No, but that's on...
That's on HBO.
Good. It's Selfless?
No, that's a different Ryan Reynolds movie.
Oh, no,
that's
that
where
was,
Ben Kingsley gets implanted in Ryan Reynolds.
No, I know what you're talking about. I think both of those are on HBO right
Okay,
now,
well, check it out. It's a really good action movie.
Okay.
Like without the whole Kevin Costner with Ryan Reynolds in his head, it's just a good action movie.
Okay.
Gal Gadot. Playing Ryan Reynolds' wife.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm like, oh, Green Lantern married Wonder
She's
Woman.
She's on that Keeping Up with the Joneses with John Hamm.
Yeah, yeah. I haven't seen that one yet.
That's coming to HBO
in
the next couple weeks. Anyway.
I pay for it for some reason.
Speaking of other cool stuff that's streaming right now, the CW Seed app. I was telling you about this.
Yeah.
They have Constantine. They have Pushing Daisies.
You didn't tell me that one.
Oh, I didn't? Yeah. Okay. And then they have Birds of Prey.
I think I own
something
that one.
Else huge that I was shocked about. Oh,
V.
So like
the remake,
still, you know, it's honestly, it's worth it to watch just to tear it apart.
Yeah,
but
I didn't tear it apart when it was on. I just was like, this isn't anything like what.
No,
sorry, we got off the Star Wars.
All right, so the last bit of the Star Wars thing is in our show notes. There's a link to the article. Within that article, there's a link to how the Lord Miller director's cut is possible.
Oh, God. Now let's stop that, too.
Anyway, I don't necessarily want to see
that. Does that mean we're going to get a Rogue One cut of the other director, too?
Gareth Edwards? Yeah. I would like to, because I would like to see the original ending.
Yeah.
So, yeah. All right. And then
I question, you know, the leadership. They're putting people in here and then cutting them out. It's like, you got to look at their other movies. It's like, if you have a one-time director or
Godzilla
a person...
Godzilla was really good, though.
Godzilla was really good. He's done one movie before that, too. And it's like, there's two movies to look at. But I'm like, if you're that worried about the quality, don't hire a director who's only directed two movies. Yeah. Don't hire comedic directors to direct a serious movie.
They're going to hire Josh Trank next.
This is the last episode.
So,
they know already because, you know.
Yeah. Well, so, like, Colin Trevally.
Trevorrow or whatever?
Trevonery, whatever, how do you say it? Colin Trainstop.
Yeah.
Anyway, like, you know, he's got Jurassic World under his belt.
Yeah. But that's all.
He did
one movie before that.
The it was the time travel one.
What time travel one?
With it was like time travel, air quotes. Like it wasn't actual time travel. What was it? The thing with the Aubrey Plaza.
Oh,
safety not guaranteed.
Yeah.
I think that was him, right?
I don't remember.
Colin Trevorrow. Yeah, safety not guaranteed. That was the other one. And then Book of Henry, which comes out this year.
Which bombed.
Yeah, it did.
Yeah.
You're right. Okay, which came out this year. Okay, so safety not guaranteed is this great little slice of just life type movie and weirdness.
Yeah.
And you know, that he went from that to Jurassic World
and did a really good job.
Was great. I love Jurassic World.
Right.
I thought it was fun. It looked good. It had semblance of a story. Sure, there were weird little things like running in high heels and that kind of stuff.
But
that didn't take me out of the
movie. The thing is, Steven Spielberg was on set a lot.
Right.
Steven Spielberg was there to guide him.
Mm-hmm.
Who's guiding these guys?
I do not know.
That's the thing. That's what Lucasfilm needs to do is get somebody in there that's going to be
it's Kathleen Kennedy.
She's not satisfied, though.
Well,
don't hire him.
Fair enough, yeah.
Don't hire him, then.
So,
Yeah, don't go after these like one, two movie, like, you know, the big names.
At that point, it's like, why didn't you just get Ron Howard to direct the movie in the first place?
Well, and Star Wars has never been about name actors and directors and that kind of stuff. Like, they've made them.
This guy named George Lucas directed the first one.
Yeah.
Lawrence Kasdan, who had a lot of experience, directed. And I can't remember the other one's name.
But, you know, Mark Hamill, nobody knew who Mark Hamill was. Harrison Ford was the weird guy from American Graffiti.
Mm-hmm.
And Carrie Fisher was Debbie Reynolds' daughter.
Yeah.
It was it. Yeah. And Peter Mayhew was really tall.
But I mean, that's the thing is like, but if you want quality directors, hire quality directors.
Yeah. Agreed.
I mean, you know, I would have said if you thought about Ron Howard, you probably should have asked Ron Howard first.
Yeah.
And if he said, you don't want to.
Yeah.
Then you call Steven Spielberg up. And if he said, I don't want to. Call George Lucas. Why not? If he has an executive producer that will tell him no, George Lucas is a good director. That's why Star Wars was a good movie. Because he didn't have somebody kissing his ass.
Right.
And, you know, that's why the second trilogy is not as good. Because his executive producer was a yes man.
Yup. There's a lot of butt kissing going on there, wasn't there? Anyway, all right.
The robots keep making noises.
The robots. See, they don't hear that.
What we I just know, hear that. But what is the wire underneath the board?
Nothing. There's just superfluous wires that are there out of the way. Anywho. All right, so our last bit of newsbitey goodness, which is a good segue into what we're talking about, is Jake Busey's been cast in The Predator.
What about Harry Potter turns 20?
Oh, shoot. I forgot about that. Okay. Let me. Okay. Harry Potter turned 20 this week.
Yeah.
So the book, Harry Potter and the Philosopher's Stone, came out 20 years ago this week.
Yeah.
Now, you've read all the books, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you've seen all the movies, obviously.
Yeah.
Preference. Book or movie?
Books.
Yeah.
I think more than movies.
Okay.
The movies are good, well done movies, you know, well directed movies, and that, you know, well acted movies. They did cast the correct people.
Yeah.
But, the books, there's a lot of meat there that wasn't in the movies.
Yeah. They left a lot out.
I mean, especially like, what was it? Prisoner of Azkaban had a lot of stuff that was cut out.
Well, the Half-Blood Prince was only half of a movie.
Oh, the Half-Blood Prince is like totally like ripped.
In most of the Half-Blood Prince book takes place in the Deathly Hallows movie part one.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the whole thing with Harry kind of being seduced by the diary.
Yeah.
Was left out totally.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that was an awesome thing to see him go dark.
That's why the Half-Blood Prince is my favorite book.
Yeah.
And, like, actually, the funny thing about that is that was the movie that really got me blogging.
Yeah.
Because I wrote a review about it. And, like, I kicked off Going Geek News at the time. And
okay.
Yeah. Like, it was like, oh, sweet.
Yeah. But, I mean, reading the books as they came out. Mm-hmm. I mean, when I started reading the books, I think it was only Sorcerer's Stone and Chamber of Secrets were out. And I bought the book the night I seen Sorcerer's Stone.
Oh, okay.
Before I'd seen the movie, I bought the book because Borders at the time was having a deal where you got a discount and all this.
So I remember the Prisoner of Azkaban.
Yeah.
When that one came out, I was living in New York, and there was one day I was on the subway going into Midtown, and I was one of maybe four people on my train car who wasn't reading Harry Potter.
Ah, okay.
And it was so funny to think about.
Yeah. Yeah, I think the biggest deal was Order of the Phoenix.
Yeah.
Was that the fourth one?
No, fifth.
What was
Goblet of Fire.
Oh, Goblet of Fire. Was the big deal. Like that one.
That's what
like,
kicked.
I think that blew it up.
Hysteria.
Yeah.
In the play.
I think that one, when it got released, blew it up. I'm trying to remember if that one was the one where the store I was working at that made a big midnight showing thing. And
okay.
I was in charge of that. There's pictures somewhere of me like standing in front of the pallet of Harry Potter boxes.
Do you have a drawn on scar in the?
No, I'm standing there like a security guard, pretty much. Like, nice. You know,
don't mess with my books.
Yeah, we had to lock them up in a cage that we had in the back room and everything.
So people didn't steal them.
I'm back there reading it the whole time. Not really.
So the kid started reading Harry Potter.
Yeah.
She's on to Prisoner of Azkaban, and she watched the. She's seen all the movies, and she loves the movies to the point where she'll just watch them over and over and over and over and over again.
I wish I had time to do that.
Well, so anyway, so we put in front of her. She's not allowed to watch the movies anymore.
Okay.
Until she finishes that book. So she can earn the movies back. So
she's allowed to read like she's on Azkaban.
Right. So she can watch one and two.
Azkaban after she's done.
After she's done.
Okay.
So except for her birthday. Her birthday is Amnesty Day when she can watch whatever.
Oh, okay.
So, you know, but we're definitely a Harry Potter house.
Yeah. I think that Harry Potter is a big thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So when did you first, like, as this big Harry Potter thing, when did you first get into the books?
When the first movie came out.
When the first movie came out. Okay.
Yeah, I hadn't, I mean, I heard of it and that, but it wasn't, you know, anything where I was like, oh, I got to read that.
Yeah, it was the same way.
And I think then, I was reading the Yuuzhan Vong stuff from Star Wars at the time, so that was a giant mud puddle of a lake.
Yeah, no kidding. So we were, as when Angel and I first started dating. And she read.
I blew through them. I mean,
she had read up through three, and we were going out to visit her parents. They lived in Iowa for a little bit there.
Yeah,
I don't know if you remember that or not, but
no, that's before I.
Yeah, I think that's before we were really hanging out. But we knew each other, but we weren't hanging out.
I think when we started hanging out, the kid bot was maybe two.
Okay,
so,
but
there's your time frame.
Dun dun dun. But no, she was like, you need to read this. And so she was like reading the first book to me as we were driving out. And then we got out there. I finished it.
That's so sweet.
I finished the second one like in the span of like 3 days. And then when we got back, I went, actually, the first four were out at that point. And I bought a box set of them for myself.
Oh, okay.
And so I had one through four.
Yeah.
And I read the other two in a week.
Yeah, and then kind of had to wait. Man might have been out when Sorcerer's Stone came out, like the movie.
Yeah.
But I remember getting Sorcerer's Stone and Chamber of Secrets, and I read Sorcerer's Stone in a day.
Okay.
Like literally, I seen it.
Yeah.
And I read it the next day.
So I remember
because
though,
the voices were in my head still in that. And then I literally went straight into Chamber of Secrets, and I'm like, this is coming out next year? All right. I want to see this giant snake.
So it's always funny. Like, I always pictured Hermione as a little black girl.
Really?
No.
Oh, you're the referring to the play.
Yeah. Have you read that yet?
No.
I bought it. I haven't read it yet. No. Yeah. David said it was good.
I think, like, the Hermione that's in the books, I expected, like, well, you know, I had already seen the movie. Mm-hmm. But in my head, she's a little chubbier.
Yeah.
And her hair is literally that frizzy mess that they describe.
Yeah.
And that, and that's what I'm like, you know, you know, now she's Beauty. Or Belle.
Belle.
Yeah.
Wait, I thought she was the Beast.
No.
Oh, weird. No,
I'm the Beast.
Yeah. Alrighty. But no, you know, honestly, as far as seven books go, there couldn't be. I mean, it's one of the best stories ever.
Now, would you feel like it's sacrilegious if I said that they're not, none of them are my favorite movie? My favorite one is Fantastic Beast.
Yeah. The Fantastic Beast is my favorite
Wizarding World movies. I'm like, I think I like Fantastic Beast more than I like any of those.
So, oh, you know what? I'm wrong. Order of the Phoenix is my favorite book, not Half-Blood Prince. But Half-Blood Prince, the movie got me blogging.
I don't know what my favorite book, probably Goblet of Fire. Because a lot of stuff happens.
There is a lot
of
stuff that happens, but like, and there's payoff in Goblet of Fire.
Yeah.
But Order of the Phoenix is kind of where
I think Goblet of Fire, just because the whole, the scene at the end.
Yeah.
With
Voldemort's
Voldemort coming back and the actual like way she wrote it. Mm-hmm. Like the way that she writes this stuff, like makes me go, I like the books more.
Yeah.
And I think that's why I like Fantastic Beasts, the movie, because she wrote it.
Yeah.
It's her writing it. And I'm like, keep on writing the movies.
Please,
if you're not
going to
write the
please.
Books, just keep writing the movies.
Yeah, I agree.
And I enjoy reading, like, you know, I don't get on Pottermore that much, but, like, you know, I've read some of the stuff, and I'm like, yeah, this is good stuff. It's like, this
the Pottermore stuff's really good.
And, I'm like, publish that in a book, and I'll buy it, because I'd rather read it as a book.
If you don't know what we're talking about, Pottermore, just go to Pottermore, PottermoreMore.com, and it's well worth it.
I'm a Slytherin. Well worth it.
I was a Ravenclaw.
Yeah.
So was Angel, and then the kid bot was a Hufflepuff.
No one's surprised when I tell him I'm a Slytherin.
Yeah, I'm not surprised at all.
I would like to know what kind of group the Horned Serpents are.
Oh, yeah.
From Ivalmorny, because I'm also a Horned Serpent. I'm like, how did I get both of the serpent type?
Well,
I'm like,
are fluent in parcel talk. Yeah, well. So, anyway. All right, so then the last thing, which I kind of talked about a little bit, but...
Segue
back. Jake Busey has been cast in Predator 2. The Predator. And he's playing the son of Gary Busey's character from Predator 2.
Which gives us a time frame of where this is. Yeah.
So that's pretty cool. You know, I'm excited for this cast.
Do you think Casper Van Dien will show up?
Oh,
yeah. Starship Trooper reunion.
My name's Johnny Rocco, and I'm from Buenos Aires, and I say, kill them all.
Rico. Johnny Rico.
Yeah.
And he doesn't even say his name. He just says, I'm from Buenos Aires.
Yeah, that's what he says.
And I say, kill them all.
Exactly. good times.
Most people think that we should have a live and let live with the arachnids, but...
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you for that.
I watched it recently.
It's, you know... It's Paul Verhoeven.
Stars is running it.
Are they really?
Yeah. If you have the Stars app, I'm sure it's on there.
I'm actually going to do the free trial so I can watch American Gods.
Yeah, I need to watch that. I DVR'd it and I haven't watched any of it.
We need to watch that and talk about it.
Yeah.
So now I haven't read the comic, or the book.
The novel.
Sorry, the novel, that's what I meant to say.
Yeah.
But there's a comic out about it, too.
Yeah, right, but now, the novel is what you should read.
Yeah, which I have not. But no, so I'm excited for this.
I haven't read Anasazi Boys. I need to read Anasazi Boys.
Yeah.
And the other one. There's another one that's, I just picked up of his.
The Norse
one, mythology. Yeah.
So, but back to the Predator. I'm excited for this cast. Like with Olivia Munn and like, do you watch Key and
Peele? I'm excited to see a Predator in the snow knocking over a Christmas tree because you know that's going to happen.
So. Or maybe dressed
as
a Christmas tree.
I think it should, because at this point, that's like his...
That's his thing.
Thing. And I'm just like, you know, yeah. Well, the thing is, too, in the Aliens versus Predator Requiem, there was Christmas stuff.
Oh, there was, yeah.
Yeah, so it's like...
Wait, did he direct that?
No, he
didn't. Oh, I didn't think so.
It's just an ironic thing.
Yeah. Irony. All right.
No, I mean, it's a solid cast. We talked about that. Yeah.
But
Yvonne Stravinsky and Olivia Munn.
Olivia Munn. And I love Keegan-Michael Key. From
Key
and Peele.
He's playing a hard ass in this movie. Yeah.
And he was... Have you watched Keanu yet?
Yeah, we watched it.
I watched it again the other night.
It's hilarious.
I love that movie. Oh, it's so funny. But yeah, so I guess the thing here on this, the article from AV Club, is they're saying that this could qualify, I guess, as Predator 3.
Yeah.
So,
which I mean, it can tie to Predators and can tie to, because it all ties together.
Yeah.
And I mean, that's where I'm like still hesitant about the Prometheus Covenant thing, because there's nothing tying it to the first Alien movie.
Right.
So I'm like, that's at least with these, there's always mention of the first incident, you know. Obviously, in the history of the world that Predator exists in, Predators have been coming to Earth forever, but the first Predator that was encountered that was recorded was the one that Schwarzenegger's character encountered, Dutch. And then, that's what they were hunting in the second one.
Right.
Gary Busey's character was, you know, literally hunting to catch one of these things because they wanted to take it apart and see what it was and study it.
Learn how to go all invisible.
And get the weapons and the space technology and all that with Adam Baldwin. Adam Baldwin was in.
Yeah. I know. It's, we got to have Zachary Levi show up in one of these things.
That would be awesome if Adam Baldwin shows back up as his character from Predator 2 and with
Chuck in
with
tow.
Gary Busey's son. With Jake.
Did Adam Baldwin didn't die in
no,
Predators,
he's, it literally yeah. like at the end of Predator 2, Danny Glover beats the Predator and they take off, the ship takes off and he comes walking out of the subway tunnel with the gun that the Elder gave him. And says something smart to Adam Baldwin and walks away. Yeah, and Adam Baldwin's just standing there watching the ship fly away.
I gotta watch that one again. I haven't
watched
that one
in forever. That's really good too. It's fun because it's like, you know, where else are you gonna get to see Danny Glover, Ruben Blades, Marita, Conchita Alonso, Bill Paxton?
I mean, Predator 2.
Yeah, that's literally it.
All right. You wanna talk about these covers?
Two of those people are gone now?
Yeah. Oh yeah, I guess they are, aren't they?
Yeah. Maria Conchita Alonso passed away last year. Bill Paxton this year.
Yeah. All right. So, let's not be sad. Let's talk about comic book covers.
Well, that's a sad thing, too.
Comic book covers? Alrighty. So.
Because it's a visual thing and people don't understand.
Alicia, this one's for you.
Look at the page. Look at the web page. The pictures of the books are on there. You can look at the web page while you're listening to it.
So if you go to your show notes and to the web page, all of the covers we've picked are there. So I just did two from each.
Yeah.
Each of the four franchises, and you kind of went all over the place.
As I do.
As you do.
Well, what do I got? I got two aliens. Two Predators.
Well, but then you have like an Alien versus Predators, RoboCop versus Terminator.
And a Terminator.
Yeah. Anyway. No, but you did like the verses. I tried to just keep them separate.
The verses are awesome.
They are awesome, but anyway.
There are no reason to keep them separate.
And so actually, I'm gonna put the caveat. One of mine doesn't come out. I guess it technically is, yeah. But one of mine doesn't come out until August. But it was such an awesome picture that I could not do it.
Boo.
All right, why don't you get started?
Boo. My first one is from a miniseries called Aliens Hive. And it's issue number 2. And the art is by Kelly Jones. I really like this one because of the fact that there's a dog and an alien on the cover.
Yeah.
And there's a ball sitting there. Like, which one's going to go after the ball?
Who's going to go after the ball?
I vaguely remember the story, and it was they were trying to domesticate
an alien
and using the dog to try and domesticate it. Yeah. Vaguely, I remember that.
Okay.
It's been a long time since I've read it.
It's definitely a cool looking cover. I like the alien on there. So.
One of the few Kelly Jones covers that I actually like.
Oh,
so.
There you go.
Yeah.
All right, so my first one is from the I'm just going to go through the series.
Yeah.
It's from the Terminator series, and it is the cover to Terminator, The Burning Earth, the trade paperback.
Okay.
Because the art was done by Alex Ross.
Right.
And it's this.
Was this a new print of the trade?
I think so,
they've done like a couple
yeah.
prints of the trade.
And it's this like burning Terminator exoskeleton or endoskeleton, whatever.
That's actually, I think, Alex Ross's first professional work.
Oh, really?
Comic books was that Burning Earth storyline.
Okay. And it's got a bunch of human skulls around it, and there's flames and stuff.
You can't have a Terminator cover without human skulls.
Absolutely not. But it, now I've never read the story.
Yeah.
You know, I haven't read any of these because I just never did. One thing, and a lot of these were Dark Horse.
Yeah.
Which we talked about, but. You know, I mean, Dark Horse
at
has
one
done,
point, Dark Horse had the rights to all four of them.
And they have done, they did a great job just going through when I was doing research for this week.
They have Aliens and Predators still. Mm-hmm.
But they did a great job just kind of pushing these franchises.
Well, it was
them going.
The thing, like, 20th Century
like
Fox had the rights to Aliens and Predator. So they were pretty much like, you know, you got free reign to do whatever.
Right.
Just do stuff.
Yeah.
And that. It's like, just you know, we're
something.
You're paying
cool.
for the rights. Just publish whatever you want. And they got strong writers to do most of these books. And then, you know, I'm sure they blew the minds of the 20th Century executives when they said Aliens versus Predator.
Yeah.
And yeah.
All right. So what's your number two?
I'm just going down.
Yeah, just go down the list.
Yeah, mine's alphabetical. So my next one is one that I actually have not read.
Last episode.
I don't remember this one even like when it came out, but when I was going through looking at the covers, it's called Aliens Music of the Spears. Number one is the one I picked.
Yeah.
And it's the cover's by Tim Bradstreet and Guy Burwell. And it's just one of those covers where I don't know why I missed this one, because it's ninjas and an alien on the cover. And I'm like, okay, now I'm going to have to go find this.
So when you sent the list over, I read that as the music of Britney Spears.
Nice.
I was like, wait a second.
Ooh, baby, baby.
Why did you have to hug my face?
Yeah. Yeah, that don't work. But yeah, ninjas and an alien. Yeah, dude. Kinda.
Who wins, ninjas versus aliens?
I don't know.
Who wins ninjas versus pirates?
Pirates.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. Because they're sneaky and underhanded?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Cool. And ninjas fight with honor.
No, they're not samurai.
They still fight with honor.
Well, a little bit. Yeah. Okay. All right. My second one is Terminator Endgame.
I remember this one.
The cover artist is Ryan Benjamin. I thought this one was great. It's a Arnold Terminator T-800.
With
right?
a goatee.
Yeah, with the goatee, mm-hmm. holding a human baby, mm-hmm. but like half human, half Terminator, you know, mm-hmm. kind of blown up, battle damaged.
So there was...
The city, looks like LA, is on fire behind him.
There was a series of books that when they were publishing the Terminator books, when Dark Horse was, that crossed over each other.
Yeah.
They were miniseries, so mm-hmm. you could just read them as a miniseries, but they had characters in them that would show up in other miniseries. And this was the last part of that. And one of the Terminators was a good Terminator.
Oh.
And was trying to protect Sarah Connor, but indirectly. Like, she didn't know he was there, but he was doing stuff that was protecting her. And this story...
So, like, Pops in Genesis.
Yeah, kind of, yeah. But this story had it where this was the battle at the hospital. John Connor was being born.
Oh.
And it was literally like a fight in the hospital, and then there's a twist at the end.
So it's little baby John Connor.
There's a twist at the end.
Oh, what's the twist?
The baby's name's Jane Connor. Because, yeah. Yeah, and I was like, whoa, okay, this is the end? It's like, so this timeline, there's a Jane Connor instead of a John Connor.
Jane Connor.
Because she literally, like, Sarah's literally yelling out, its name's John. And the doctor goes, well, you better change his name to Jane because it's a girl.
Dun, dun, dun.
And that was the end.
That's an awesome end. All right. So your next one.
My next one is Aliens versus Predator number two.
Number two.
Art by Phil Norwood. This literally almost, this list was just going to be all the Aliens versus Predator covers. Yeah. And I was like, I can't do that.
I'm kind of surprised you didn't.
Yeah, I can't do that.
So this is a great cover, I'm not going to lie.
Yeah. I'd say all four of the covers are really good. This one and I think number three were probably the two best ones. And it was hard for me to pick between the two. But this one has always been the one where I'm like, man, this just tells a story just with the cover.
Yep.
And
you've got the hands on the Predator's head and the Predator's like, ah.
Yeah. This is just like, I highly recommend this book.
I'm just going to do ADR on the covers as we're describing them. So,
okay. Yeah. Does that mean you're going to do a pig noise when we get the RoboCop? Mm-hmm. The ED-209, that's what he does. They literally said it was a pig noise when he fell down the steps and was on his back.
Nice. All right, so moving on to the Aliens franchise for me. My first one is Aliens Defiance number 3, which is a book that came out in 2016 by Brian Wood. Which I actually have been leafing through these.
Yeah.
I just haven't bought them.
I think I have a few of them.
Just because I like Brian Wood so much. But the artist is Massimo Carnival.
Okay.
And I just love the painted alien in this one. It's kind of curled up into like a fetal position, or like it looks like it's praying. It's kind of kneeling down. Like it kind of leaves a little bit to the imagination about what's going on with this particular xenomorph. But it's a profile view where, you know, I think of all the views that you get of the alien, the profile is like,
because it gives you more of the detail.
You just see, yeah, you see the elongated head and the spikes. That,
what's his name that designed the alien? Giger. That's a lot of what Giger's art is the profile of the Cenobite, or not Cenobite.
Xenomorphs.
Cenobites are Hellraiser. That's a crossover that needs to happen.
Ooh, yeah, there you go.
Aliens versus Hellraiser. Yeah, you like that?
I do like that.
Can you imagine the face-hugged pinhead alien coming out with pinhead?
Oh, just pins up, up and down. And like
the chatterer.
But not just the pins, like, you know, it'll be like kind of, it'll have to be like squared out, but then the acid is leaking. Leaking down. Yeah, that would be awesome.
Get trademark. It done. Copyright.
TM. Get your Philadelphia on. Trademark that.
If Dark Horse or IDW is listening to this,
hire John.
You got to give me a credit.
Story credit. Story buy.
I'll design some of the stuff for you.
All right. What's your next one?
Dark Horse Comics number 2.
All right.
Covers by Rochelle Menasche and Mike Magnolia.
Yeah.
I think we've heard of that guy.
Yeah, he's done a few things.
This is one of my RoboCop covers.
He drew Batman.
Yeah, he drew this guy called the Hellboy.
The Hellboy.
Yeah.
Abe Sapien.
Cosmic Odyssey.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
This is a great cover, too.
Yeah, this is like an iconic RoboCop-looking cover to me.
At first, when I saw it, I was like, why is Robo... Like, I was like, did Rob Liefeld draw this? RoboCop doesn't have feet.
Okay.
But then I was like, he's like, oh, no, he's just in water, I'm guessing. Yeah, like, you know, in, like, so it's like a sewer.
These Dark Horse comic books were fun because it was all short stories and that. So, I mean, you know.
Like, the Dark Horse comics, Dark Horse Presents, these kind of stuff is really, for me, where Dark Horse takes the licenses that they have and just give like a tremendous amount of value. I mean, Star Wars Tales.
Aliens versus Predator came out of a Dark Horse Presents because it was just one of those things, like I said, 20th Century Fox pretty much gave them carte blanche.
Yeah.
And they were just like, you know, I guess it was in a writer's room and they were sitting there like coming up with ideas and it's like, can I do this as a short story? And somebody's like, yeah, sure.
Sure, why not? Yeah.
And it's a pretty cool short story because all what it is two guys having a conversation on the way to a planet to deliver stuff. And it shows the predators and the aliens and prepping them for a hunt.
Yeah.
And it's like, that's pretty cool. and then they republished it as the number 0 issue for Aliens versus Predator. And it's like, it's in the trade and everything.
It's pretty cool. Yep. All right. My next one is Aliens Life and Death number 1. The cover was done by artist David Palumbo. Did I say that right? Yeah. Anyway.
Oh, yeah.
I like this one for the tagline. It says, those who die are the lucky ones.
Yeah.
And you have the majority of a soldier with the xenomorph wrapped around it, the tails wrapped around, and like it's got the claws on his chest and you know, the mouth's open, and you can see the soldiers in pain. But it's a beautiful bit of art. Like this would be a cool poster. Like this is a poster I would get, especially if it still had the lucky ones are the ones who die or the ones who die are the lucky ones. I would hang that up.
Take the aliens life and death off and just,
I would hang that up in here.
Yeah.
So, it's just pretty, pretty freaking cool looking.
Right.
You know, it's another one of these where it's so photorealistic.
Yeah.
You know, with art and
a lot of them nowadays, you know, I know they'd use Photoshop as a guide and then do their own thing. And it's like, it really, I think, helps them in the long run make better art.
Agreed. So, but as I was just kind of, I was scrolling through all the different Alien miniseries and that one just stopped me.
Sure.
It literally stopped me mid scroll. And I was like, there we go. That's my Alien. That's my second Aliens one.
Yep.
All right. Next.
My next one is Predator number 1, the original miniseries that I talked about during our Predator episode. And it's literally a scene that was done live action in Predator 2, where it's a predator standing on top of a building after killing somebody.
Right.
And just, you know, pretty much screaming to the sky.
Hello, sky.
Yeah.
I've killed a human.
I mean, in Predator 2, they do it really cool because he gets hit by lightning at one point.
And oh, yeah, like, he does. I forgot
about
like, that.
You're like, oh, okay, he can stand up to lightning. It's like, that's pretty cool.
This is one powerful mofo.
Yeah.
So,
but yeah, nice. It's such an iconic cover that a few years ago, NECA did it as an action figure.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I have it. Yeah. I bought that. I was like, I'm buying that.
Very
I'm like,
cool.
That's too cool not to buy.
All right, my first one.
Oh,
sorry, that was
by Chris Warner.
Chris Warner, yeah. Yeah. My first one in the Predator is actually a versus, a Predator versus.
Yeah.
It's Archie versus Predator.
Yeah.
And this one, the artist is, where'd it go?
Dan Parent.
Dan Parent, thank you.
Yeah. Who's an Archie artist? So I've met him. He's a pretty cool guy.
No.
Yeah, it's Dan Parent.
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay. Because I have Dan Parent for the other one.
Yeah, that's what I told you that your PDF messed up.
Okay. Well. Oh.
Yeah.
Great. Okay. So, anyway, so Dan Parent, I love this one because Archie's walking in with Veronica and Betty, and they're all lovey-dovey happy, and there's a Predator just hiding under the table, and there's blood everywhere. And I just like the cartoony look of the Predator because he still looks freaking awesome.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
But he looks Archie-fied.
Archified totally. Yeah. Like if you watch or if you've read like Archie versus Living Dead and that kind of stuff, life, like they've Archified zombies or afterlife.
Yeah,
sorry.
Afterlife. Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway.
Yeah. Even like I mean stuff like Afterlife with the Archie books is still looks Archie, but not totally because they just tweak it a little bit. It's kind of like the old Archie meets the Punisher where they all look like themselves, but the Punisher looks like the Punisher, but with a little bit of Archie twist.
Right, right.
My next one is another Chris Warner cover, and it's from a miniseries called Predator Big Game, and the issue number is number 2.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the one where the Predator is just kind of like looking at something.
Mm-hmm.
And fading in and out. It's kind of the way he did the art on it looks like he's kind of coming into view, and it's in the desert, so it looks pretty cool.
It does. It's very
and this
cool.
is the one where I was talking about it on the Predator episode, where it takes place on an Indian reservation, and it's a pretty cool story.
Cool.
Yep.
All right. So my next one is Predator Hunters number 4,
mm-hmm.
which comes out this August. The cover artist is Doug Wheatley. Yeah, you know what I did? I just copy and pasted it all.
Excuse me. Oh, that's okay. I caught it last night. That's what I was trying to explain it to you.
Okay, okay. Because when I sent you the PDF, it did mm-hmm. move some stuff in a funny way. Anyway, this picture is just...
Yeah.
It's cool. It's like it a cool. Native American inspired type of a thing. Where,
that's from the Hunters miniseries?
Yeah.
Okay. I've been picking that up. I haven't read it yet.
There's one that has a mask on that's got like... a human-looking face,
yeah.
like a humanoid-type face. And then the other two don't have masks on at all, which is how I prefer the Predator,
yeah.
you know, like maskless.
Yeah.
But they're running through a really cool just jungle-type scene.
Yeah, this,
the forest.
This story like sounds interesting, and like I said, I haven't read it yet. I picked up the first two issues, and that because it's literally people that predators had hunted over the years
mm-hmm.
and those people got away
yeah.
hunting them.
Nice.
So I think they have the predators trapped on an island and they can't get off.
Yeah. Like the, on the Dark Horse site, it says here, a warm tropical night, a lush island setting and death on all sides.
Yeah.
The team of human hunters is looking for a single predator when they find out the hard way that there are 4 of the monsters lurking about.
Yep.
Yet, unbelievably, it's not the worst of their problems.
Yep.
So, yeah, this might be it. Like,
this one sounds like
it does
like
sound
the
really
most
cool.
dangerous
yeah.
game, like where it takes place on
yeah.
an island. And, you know, I'm like, okay, this might be a nod to the most dangerous game story.
Mm-hmm.
So, I haven't read it yet, like I said.
Yeah, like I said, though, I
this
love...
was one where I was like, it actually sounded interesting because a lot of them...
Yeah.
That they're doing now don't have, because they're trying too much to tie them to Prometheus and to that storyline.
Right.
And I'm like, yeah, it's not going to work though, because the movies are coming out and they're going to blow away what you wrote.
Mm-hmm.
And that, but this one just sounds like a good old Dark Horse miniseries. So that's why I've been picking it up.
Very good.
My next one is RoboCop versus the Terminator number 4 by Walter Simonson. And this is literally, I think, where they got the idea that RoboCop can fly.
RoboCop can't fly.
Yeah. Well, this RoboCop could. And that this miniseries is just really interesting because they are trying to track John Connor and send a Terminator back to Detroit.
Yeah.
And RoboCop pretty much like takes him out and that, but he meets somebody from the future who's also here to protect John Connor and pretty much recruited into the battle to fight the Terminators.
All right.
This one has a Terminator dog, a Terminator kid, Terminator woman, Terminator man. You know, it's literally like anything they could throw in there. And it's Frank Miller.
Yeah.
Writing it. And it's Walter Simonson doing the art.
Did Simonson do all the interiors too?
Yeah.
Okay. I might.
Yeah.
Have
and
to
what's cool in the single issues, they did these like stand ups you could take out of the book and like literally like, you know, put on your desk type thing.
Cool.
It was pretty cool. And that, I mean, you know, obviously the 90s was a lot of promotional craziness. Mm-hmm. But at one point, there's a story, it jumps to the future, and RoboCop had planted himself as a virus in the Skynet system.
Oh.
And takes over one of their factories and builds an army of RoboCops.
Nice.
So it's RoboCops versus the Terminators.
Wait,
in
is
the
it
future.
All like all robot?
Well, no, they have, they literally like,
or did he find a bunch of dead people to?
No, he just put like the Terminator faces onto the RoboCops, and it was. I mean, it's just it was an awesome like thing. They had it where like Frank Miller was writing it where the future was in flux.
Okay.
So at one point, the Terminators had decided that they were leaving Earth and going to take over the universe. So there's like a spaceship with a Terminator face on the front of it. And I'm like, this is the coolest art I've ever seen.
That's pretty cool.
And this is before I had like discovered Walt Simonson's Thor stuff.
Yeah.
So I was like, man, this guy is really like awesome. And that, and then, you know.
The definitive Thor.
The Walter Simonson Thor.
All right. So my next one is Frank Miller's RoboCop number 1.
Mm-hmm.
From, I think this is the reprint.
This is the one where his arm is blasted off.
Yeah, he's missing an arm.
Yeah.
And his left arm, he's holding the gun, you see the one eyeball. It's that classic Frank Miller art.
Yeah.
That you saw in the first Dark Knight Returns.
Well, sure, yeah. Where he beats the hero up.
Yep. he just RoboCop. He looks in
all
in
of his
such,
Sin City. Sin
yeah,
City
exactly.
Art. Yeah.
But RoboCop looks in such like disarray.
Yeah.
That you know, it's just one of those things where, wow, like
yeah.
Man, this is the Frank Miller I miss.
Yeah.
You know, like.
Yeah.
But,
you know.
Yeah. We have decades of really good Frank Miller stuff up until RoboCop 2. So,
you know,
we can always go back. But.
I mean, Frank Miller as an artist, like with Sin City, writer, artist, and that, a lot of good stuff there.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, and it's one of those things.
Yeah, and
where
Sin City is like.
Some of his RoboCop stuff
well worth
is like really awesome,
oh, yeah.
Like book wise, and that. I mean, you can do a lot more in a book than you can in a movie.
Right.
You have an unlimited budget in a comic book or in a novel.
You're just limited by imagination.
Yeah, yeah, and so. It's like, you know, like I said, spaceship with a Terminator face on the front.
I'm gonna have
of
to
it.
Track that down.
Yeah.
So. That why didn't they make that into a toy?
I don't know. I mean,
you
know,
fire up the old 3D printer.
Probably because it was two different companies.
Yeah, you're right. All right. All right. Your last one.
My last one is another cover by Chris Warner, and it's from the first Terminator miniseries, and it's number 2, and it's just an iconic Terminator on a motorcycle.
Yep. So when I was going
Terminators
through
on motorcycle, just like is a thing.
Yeah. Well, yeah. So when I was going through and I came across this one at first, so he has the Gatlin type gun and he's got the bullets wrapped around his arm. I thought that was like a cat or a monkey at first, just that glance. And I was like, what is it? Because it was just a thumbnail.
Why does Terminator have a kitty
Wait,
cat?
Why does he have a cat on his arm?
It's Terminator cat.
Well, you know, you never know. But yeah, no, that's a great one.
Yeah.
So, all right, let me get down to my last one. There's another one
that Dark Horse did called Hunters and Killers that has a Terminator on a motorcycle. And it's one of those things where, why wasn't every Terminator cover just on a motorcycle?
Yeah. And, you know, they should have done, like, they should have made a deal with, like, Harley Davidson and BMW
cool.
and Kawasaki and Yamaha and stuff, Honda, and, like, been like, hey, we're going to we're going to do Terminator Bike Year.
Yeah.
And each issue of the 12 months is going to be him on a different motorcycle. Bike? Yeah. So which motorcycle
would you have
do you
done
want
it as Schwarzenegger
on?
Or would you just done a Terminator, like a guy just tore up?
I think you'd do Schwarzenegger. Why not? Yeah. So that's the iconic.
I just like the idea, like with the Terminator comic books, I like the idea that they were like, there was female Terminators.
Yeah.
And
there
was, you know, especially like I said, with Frank Miller and the RoboCop versus Terminator, a kid and a dog and you know.
Right.
I won't say what happens at the end, but there's a pretty funny like epilogue at the end of that
story. Turns out that the dog is John Connor.
Yeah, well, there you go.
All right. My very last one is RoboCop Last Stand, the trade paperback.
Okay.
Volume one of the trade paperback. And this is by Declan Shavely? S-H-A-L-V-E-Y? Shavely? Shelby. I don't know. Anyway.
Shelby. Yeah. Say it like it's spelled. Yeah.
So I love this one because of all the wanted RoboCop posters.
Yeah.
And I really like the look on RoboCop's face, right?
Because
it's Peter Weller. It's definitely, you know, you see Peter Weller, but like he's got the his kind of bottom lip is out a little bit and he's like pissed off.
Sure.
Like,
yeah.
And he's got the gun up and it's just super classic. One thing about this is his chest is huge.
Yeah.
In this picture, like it's like, is that the right proportion? I don't know. But
Well, I mean, that's the thing is like I said, with this art, you know, it's like you can go crazy with
it. And it's kind of that neo, you know, whatever. But I love the colors on this one.
Yeah.
Because everything's like a muted like color, but it's still got brightness to it.
Yeah.
Which is kind of weird to say. But yeah. All right. Excuse me. On that note, see you guys later. All right. So that's it. Like, definitely go to the website, check out these covers.
Definitely keep your eye out if you're like at a comic book shop that has older trade paperbacks or a half price books type store
or a convention,
a used book store or a used comic show or a convention. I definitely recommend the first Aliens versus Predator miniseries. I definitely recommend the RoboCop versus the Terminator. I recommend any of the early Terminator, RoboCops, Aliens, Predator miniseries that Dark Horse did.
Yeah.
There's really like some really good stories in there. Plus, if you're a fan of those movies, you'll get the jokes. You'll get the inside stuff.
To be honest, when it comes to Dark Horse comics, more people should just read Dark Horse comics.
Yeah.
But
I mean, there's duds in there too.
But
you know, most of the stuff in the 90s, because it was, you know, 20th Century Fox was just didn't care.
Right.
I mean, what the movies had come out late 80s, and it's like, just do what you're going to do.
Mm-hmm.
There was no plan for Aliens or Predators or, you know, anything like that. Like, they were doing movies when they would do movies, but it's like now in this generation, it's like everything has to tie in.
Yeah. I want to see an Aliens versus RoboCop where they turn an alien into RoboCop.
Okay.
So it's like an alien version.
The aliens really already are RoboCop?
Yeah, but if you think about it, where it's just a head.
Oh, you mean like take part, like leave the left arm?
Yeah.
Leave the left
just
arm
leave
in.
The hand?
Yeah.
God. It wasn't even the whole arm. I went back and I didn't rewatch the whole thing, but I fast forwarded that part.
You had to go
it's
find
like,
it?
It's like up to the middle of his forearm,
right,
and that's it. And it's like, why?
Yeah.
What was the point of that?
I don't know.
There were some like tendons and
now
like
there
veins
is,
and stuff like that.
Did I ever tell you there is an Aliens versus Predator versus the Terminator?
No.
Miniseries? There is. It's really weird.
That's like a triple threat tag team match.
Well, it was one of those things where I was like, it was only four issues, and I'm like, how can you fit all this into four issues?
Well,
with Ripley showing up too. And I'm like, wait a minute, ain't she dead?
Thank you, whoever did that.
I was like, it was just like craziness.
Yeah. All right. Well, on that note, we're already at an hour. So,
woohoo!
We haven't done an hour in a while.
We haven't done an hour in a while.
Woohoo! All right.
Let's stretch this out to an hour and 15 minutes. I know I could do it.
I'm sure you could. All right. Well, guys,
Harry Potter versus the Predator versus Aliens versus the Terminator. Harry Potter has to protect John Connor
versus Archie.
Oh, God. You had to do that. Harry Potter is Archie with magic.
Yeah.
Uh-oh. Somebody's going to... What?
What?
It's possible.
All right.
I think. There's not two girls. Well, there was two girls.
He's got Ronk and Betty.
Yeah.
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 So... Harry had Ron and Hermione fighting.
So does that mean eventually, like, Betty or Veronica will end up with Jughead?
No.
Because Jughead is Ron.
No,
because
Jughead's asexual.
Okay.
So.
He's going to end up with one of them or the other.
Anywho. Oh, versus Ferris Bueller.
Archie or Harry Potter?
Well, the Terminator versus RoboCop.
Anyway. Jeez.
All right.
That would be an interesting one.
That would be. He would just convince them all to fight each other.
Or they'd all end up like having a cookout in the backyard.
Yeah, they'd be best friends with them. That'd be the only way for that to end. And then they attack Mr.
The Predator
Rooney.
Was Save Ferris painted onto his mask.
But they attack Mr. Rooney for him.
There you go.
You can see the Predator. He's got Genie hanging by
his instead of a Rottweiler, he's got an alien as his
All right. We've fallen off the rails and gone over an hour now.
No, I forgot that. There is a Star Trek The Next Generation Aliens happening.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I forgot to mention that.
So
I'm curious to see.
It'll be interesting to see, too.
I'm
is that IDW?
To see the Data Alien. Oh. Yeah. That'll be the one that gets it because he can come back from it. A hole to his chest, you know, he still could come back from it, but he's fully functional.
Well, he'd be like the synthoids from Alien anyway, the androids that they had run around.
No, he's a Walter. fully functioning human android.
Data is?
Yeah.
Okay.
He can have sex. So.
He's just a 6 foot tall.
Imagine if Tasha Yar would have lived. And been pregnant with Data's baby.
She would have never shared Data with anyone.
Yeah, well, you know.
There would have just been killing galore on the Enterprise. Anytime any woman walked by and was like,
look at Data.
And like Tasha Yar's like phaser Whoops! Disintegration.
Phaser accident.
So
phaser accident on deck B.
Well, we've literally fallen off the rails at this point. So on that note, I hope you guys enjoyed this month as we did. It was a lot of fun talking about these movies and to cap it all off with the comics and stuff like that. We have a bunch of cool stuff planned, maybe.
Okay.
I don't know. I have a few ideas. All right. Well, on that note, we'll talk to you guys next week.
Yeah. Later.
The Infamous Podcast is recorded in Kings Mills, Ohio, just north of Cincinnati. You can find new episodes every Friday on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, our website, or anywhere podcasts are downloaded. This show is hosted by Johnny Podorf and me, Brian Tudor. Those amazing banners that go with our show notes, those are designed by Johnny, and the show is mixed and engineered by me. Our intro music is Moose from bensounds.com. You can find more information about the show online at infamouspodcast.com or follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Infamous Podcast. To stay up to date on the latest news about the show and find out what's going on in the world of comics, movies, TV, and more. We also have a Patreon page, patreon.com/infamouspodcast. We have some great rewards for our patrons, and what we're looking for is help to grow the show to keep bringing you more of the content you want to hear. You can find Johnny on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram as @JohnnyPodorf, and I'm on most social networks as @BrianTudor. So whenever you're listening to us, have a great day, night, evening, weekend, whenever it is, and we'll see you next time. Thanks for listening. Later.